Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by NoOffseason.com, where you can get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Get a free 30-day trial now at NoOffseason.com. You won't be sorry. Our show today is brought to you by Grabo Sports Cards. They're a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dotson, and are located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Grabo Sports, the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic, and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of the Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at Grabos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Grabos also now breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. Use the link in their Instagram bio at Grabos_cards to get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Grabo's news and updates on Instagram at Grabos_cards. Don't forget that all the data that we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show comes from MarketMoversApp.com. Get 20% off MarketMoversApp.com today by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That's after a 14-day free trial. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON at MarketMoversApp.com today. All right, it's time for some Sports Card Strategy. Here are your hosts, Paul Hickey, Kendall the Lefty McKee, and the Dr. Crack, Chad Gill.
What's going on, everybody? Sports Card Strategy Show, October 30th, 2023, the day before Halloween. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com. No Lefty McKee today. He's a little under the weather, but we've got Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest, footballcardquest.com, putting out great content all the time. We've got Connor Barnett in the house, head of content at NoOffseason.com. And we've got the one, the only, the Dr. Crack, Chalks_cards on IG. You know him as Chad Gill. What's going on, fellas? Happy Halloween one day early. Connor, nice work on the show graphics, man. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Had a good weekend. Was able to get together with Paul and his wife for an awesome dinner. Played a little golf and got a bunch of sleep. Watched some great sports. So I'm excited for a good show today.
Awesome. Me too. Chad, how you doing, man? How was your weekend?
I had a great weekend. I had my first pigeon show of the year down in Kentucky. I was down in Louisville for the weekend. Weather down there was amazing. I did not win, for those that are curious. I did not win, but I had a good weekend nonetheless. Nice warm weather, and I come back to Wisconsin, and it was 42 degrees, and I woke up this morning and had – for water to the pigeon loft, the garden hose was completely frozen solid, so I had to run back and get water from the house. So that was not good.
Wow. And in between flipping pigeons, and there's one light shut off in his office there, in between flipping pigeons, Dr. Crack's been putting out amazing content at nooffseason.com. He's got like Jackson Churio, James Wood articles on how to make money buying them. Andy doesn't know who those guys are because he's 100% focused on football cards, and those are baseball players. Andy, you dropped some awesome stats on the Card Quest, the Football Card Quest, on Friday, I believe, where you were talking about the data that somebody in your Discord dropped, where it was like game 7 of the ALCS versus just a regular Monday night football game. We're here to talk about buying the dip. Buying the NFL dip on football cards right now. Talk about the difference just in the world's attention span when it comes to football versus baseball based on that one little sample size of data, man.
Yeah. 18.6 million viewers for that Monday night football game between the Vikings and the 49ers compared to, what was it, 8.6 or 9 million viewers for the ALCS game, game 7 on Fox. I thought that was pretty big. I think it's kind of telling that, I think football is one of the most bet sports. Like, people love to bet it. It's very intense. You only get that one game a week. So it's got that kind of perfect, you know, balance of intensity and scarcity to it. We're coming off a wild day of football. Yesterday, right now with Halloween, tomorrow, but it's also the trade deadline. It's wild, man. So it's a lot of fun. There's a lot to all my time is occupied by football easily.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because I mean, when you think about that data that you just told us about, you've got like double the amount of viewers on a regular Monday night football game, and it was like Minnesota and San Francisco, I think, was the game you referenced, and then taking that against Game 7 of the ALCS that had some amazing heroics by Adolis Garcia. And when you extrapolate that out into the future, perhaps, you're looking at, like, imagine now an NFL playoff game, right? Or, you know, or the championship Sunday where you've got, or the championship weekend, championship Sunday where you've got the AFC and the NFC championship games. Think of all the attention there. And now think about the football cards that we should all be buying now, right, Andy? In preparation, not only necessarily for those games, because that's a little bit harder to predict, but you've also got some great stuff to talk about today regarding just maybe even quicker flips before then. So we're excited to get into it. Before we do that, let's do some live chat love. So Chad Gill, first to comment, breaking the third wall, David Killett, Ryan Painter, Rusty Imigart, Cleo Cards, Janelle Shue, Craig's Cards 11, Trevor Beagle, Evan Bell, Shane Graham, Joel Kaplan, all in at the top of the show. Good morning to everybody. And if you want to get into the live chat, please do. We're going to give you some love. Drop us your L's, W's of the week and questions, and we're going to get to them on today's show. If you want a better answer to your question than the one we're going to give you on today's show, go to nooffseason.com/ask. And we'll answer it on the Overflow show for premium members. You can get in there. If you're not already a premium member, get a free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com. We would love to have you become an official member of the nooffseason.com family. And I'm going to start off with my L of the week here. Guys, I still don't have any card L's. I'm still just on fire. And I should be, right? Because, you know, I'm the guy that's telling all of you what to do to make money flipping sports cards. I'm one of the guys. Obviously, we have a lot of people here that can help you make money flipping sports cards on the nooffseason.com sports card network, but I don't have any card L's. So I'm just going to throw out some other L's, some things that kind of ruffled my feathers this weekend. MSU Hoops lost by one in, I guess, an exhibition game that they're doing now. I'm not sure how long they've been doing exhibition games where they take two top 10 teams and play them against each other, but it was kind of fun to watch on the Big Ten Network. Tennessee visited the Breslin Center, and the refs just shat their pants calling a foul as MSU tied the game and Tennessee took the ball across half court. Refs shat their pants because there's no way Tennessee should have been in the double bonus, but they were. And then they called a little ticky-tack foul, putting Tennessee on the line. Missed the first, made the second. Tennessee won 89-88. So it was a little bit hard to watch my Sparties go down. But apparently it doesn't count. So it's not that big of a deal because it's an exhibition game. All you Sparty Hoops fans out there, definitely drop a comment below. I'd love to hear from you. And even if you're not a Sparty Hoops fan, drop a comment below. NFL QB injuries. I'm sure Andy will talk a little bit about this, and Dr. Crack will probably hit on it too. But it just makes the games harder to watch. As much as popular as the NFL is, and it's never going to really lose steam just because of the machine that the NFL is. You know, we had Kenny Pickett, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Tyrod Taylor, who is already the second string in New York. Desmond Ridder all went down yesterday. Again, Andy's probably going to talk a little bit more about that in the show. But NFL QB injuries just suck, I think. You know, I don't necessarily know how much it affects the hobby. I think it actually puts some opportunities out there for people looking to make some quick flips. So we might talk about that. But just in terms of making the games watchable, I mean, I didn't want to see Tyler Bagent last night. You know, I wanted to see Justin Fields, you know? Sorry, maybe Andy's going to disagree with me on that one. But there's probably some plays to be made. But we're going to pass it over to Dr. Crack here in a second, but I just want to say good morning to some more people in the live chat. Adrian, Charlie, Luke Menkel, Janelle Shue, of course, Eric Sorensen, what's up? Definitely keep getting your L's and W's of the week in the live chat. And if you're listening on Apple and Spotify, hit me up on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. All right, Crack, let's talk about your L's of the week, man. What's going on with you?
Well, much like you, Paul, I don't have a ton of L's. I've had way more W's than L's. However, the one L was kind of a W was listening. Last week we did our breaking Whatnot. We tried to wreck Whatnot channel with our sports card strategy team. It was a lot of fun. Connor and I were live on our channel while you were live on Whatnot. But watching all those Wembys sell and watching you and Paul just raking in that money, I was like, man, I bought two of the Wembys that day. I bought what I did that day when you guys bought the packs of 20 or whatever it was. I bought, because I thought some of the other cards there were cool, I bought two of the where I got every card on the tops now thing. I paid the same amount of money as you did, but I only ended up getting two of the Wembys, but I got two of everything. And those other cards are worth absolutely nothing right now, even though they're cool to have. And I was a little, you know, like, what the hell did I do? I knew that that was a good play, but I only ended up with two. I've already sold one of them. The other one is still going. I put one at auction, one at buy it now, sold the one on buy it now already. But my L of the week was not listening to Paul yet again. I should have bought 20 of them. Instead, I bought two. So I profited. So then what I ended up doing was I had to snipe some of your whatnot auctions. So I had a few more. And I've already sold one of those two cards and I don't even have it in hand yet. So Paul's probably going to talk about that in his, because he was talking in the Friday morning overflow that's a huge no-no. And here's Dr. Crack. I was listening to that laughing going, I just did that.
Awesome. Yeah. Lefty and I had fun. We disrupted whatnot. Chad and Connor helped filter people into our whatnot stream from the YouTube channel. And it was a lot of fun. We had like over 50 people at all times in the whatnot live, our first ever whatnot stream. And we did it in like a podcast format. So there was no stupid wheels spinning, no dumb duck races. It was all just value the entire time. It was 90 minutes of strictly value. So thank you again to all of you who supported that and bought cards or just popped in. We really appreciated it. We had a lot of fun, and I will be sharing in my W of the week the entire breakdown, so buckle up for that. But we're going to go over to Andy for his L and W of the week back to back. We do a little fantasy snake draft format here. So Andy, do you know who Victor Wembanyama is?
Yeah, he's a rookie basketball player. He's like really tall. He's supposed to be good. I saw him take some pictures with Michael Rubin, like the first card ever signed. There's a big deal about him in the hobby, the basketball hobby, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good work, Andy. Good work. So
Andy,
how's he played though? I don't know how he's played to start his career.
What I want to see is he's too frail to play football, but couldn't you put him in the end zone where people can't hit him until he catches? Just stand there like a tight end and, you know, throw it high as you can.
Couldn't that one be a play, weapon? Yep.
like the fridge was on the goal line running the ball. Wouldn't that be cool?
Probably could. Connor, how has he played so far? Give us your analysis of Wemby.
I think that people are always quick to kind of judge these rookies. He hasn't been super efficient, but he's definitely still producing the highlight plays. And he's showing just an unbelievable ability to get to his spots and take a shot, moving one-legged either way, fading from wherever he is on the floor. So for me, he's kind of lived up to the hype, but he's definitely got to gain some size to be able to kind of move his way around down low a little bit better.
His game is so different to me than anything I've ever seen. It's like it's very interesting to watch. I'm pretty fascinated by him. It looks like Popovich isn't really playing him full minutes yet. Like he's starting him, but he's playing like 15 to 25 minutes. So is that something Popovich has talked about, or is that just something that we're noticing?
I think it's more something we're noticing. He's been in a little bit of foul trouble, I think, two of the three games. So that's definitely factored into it. But you know, Pop's got his methods. I'm sure as Wemby gets more developed and kind of proves that he's got that durability to hang around the league, we'll see his minutes climb up.
Greg Popovich might sound like a name of a Denver Broncos linebacker from the 70s, but he's actually the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, Andy. So we're going to kick it back over to you. Oh My Shoes is in the house. He's also been accompanying you and Carter in the live chat of the Football Card Quest. And so we appreciate that. Shoes, what's going on? Andy, over to you, man. So what's your L of the week?
Yeah. Appreciate that. So my L of the week is not buying Will Levis rookie cards before this Sunday. Will Levis, I mean, he just exploded onto the scene. And as a result, I mean, people are selling out left and right. And what's cool is he was printed heavily in Mosaic. So if you were ripping 2023 Mosaic, if you were buying the singles, you could have bought those Will Levis silver Mosaics for $5 before yesterday. I'm seeing sold transactions of people listing them this morning. They're selling for $45 to $50. And that only scales up from there when you look at his rookie cards. If the more rare they get, if you find anything that's autographed, watch out. I mean, the prices are getting ridiculous. I mean, it's all the rookie autos, even the Leaf, the Sage, everything was sold out under $70 by like 5:30 yesterday afternoon. And so that's the L of the week, man. Why was I not buying more Will Levis just because he put mayonnaise in his coffee? You know, I should have bought more. You know, that arm that he's got is real, man. That arm looks super snappy. He threw 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, just a massive, massive coming out party for Will Levis. And looks like the Tennessee Titans might be in the trade market or in the selling market for Ryan Tannehill now at this point.
Yeah, they absolutely should. I mean, could they even get anything for Ryan Tannehill? Who would... Like, would it be, I mean, with any of these injuries yesterday, are there now new teams in the market for Tannehill?
Well, you know, yeah, there's going to be teams in the market for a veteran with experience that's been to championship games and stuff like that. And they're going to have to eat some of Tannehill's contract. So that's the difficult part. The Titans are going to have to convince another team to take on a portion of Tannehill's contract. So, yeah, that's the difficult part, especially when you look at, his age, you know, and it's funny, him and Kirk Cousins went down. Well, Tannehill didn't go down yesterday, but Kirk Cousins did. So yeah, it's there's a big mix up here ahead of the trade deadline. Now what do you do? Because Derrick Henry was on the block and they were not shopping him, but they were taking offers from other teams, like the Ravens, for example, you know, for a running back. And I'm not sure if they want to now. They may you know, they're right there. They're right there at 4-4. They're right there. It's still in the mix. I mean, the Jags are a force especially after a big statement win yesterday against the Steelers, but the Titans are right back in it. So it's going to be super interesting to see what happens the next 24 hours.
Yeah. I'm here in Middle Tennessee and with Connor, and now I'm excited about the Titans because they were looking absolutely putrid. And Will Levis definitely gave him a nice shot of adrenaline. Hopefully they can turn it around and keep that momentum going. He made D-Hop relevant again for fantasy purposes. Looks like, you know, for card purposes. So maybe we'll talk about that. Andy, who's your W? What is your W of the week, man?
Well, it's the Eagles offense. It's Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. I am definitely reaping the rewards and pulling the receipts for the past 2 years of investing and collecting Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown. So that's my bright spot. So, you know, hey, I'm happy. I'm happy the Eagles offense, they look, you know, really good. And they're definitely going to be making a deep playoff run. And Jalen Hurts, although a lot of people have pegged him as a system quarterback, you know, and he's part of this system. So it's a good system, but at the same time, man, and that connection between him and AJ Brown is incredible. AJ Brown looks like he's going to be, it's tough. You know, who's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now, AJ Brown or Tyreek Hill? That debate right there is a really tough one because I don't know. I think maybe it's AJ Brown just from an all purpose when you combine route running, the versatility that AJ Brown brings to the table. It's tough, but yeah, that's my win of the week.
If you had to advise the people, the nooffseason.com family, to buy either AJ Brown or Tyreek Hill right now and see whose cards are going to go up within the next, say, 4 months, which one would you pick?
AJ Brown. Yeah, he doesn't quite get as much hype, or I guess should say average resale sold value on his more common cards, like his Optic Hollows from 2019. And I think those are going to catch up. I think those are going to get to the point where Justin Jefferson's market has been, just because, you know, AJ Brown's on a historic record-breaking run right now of most consecutive games over 125 yards. It's very likely he could break records by the end of the season. you know, the first receiver over 2,000 yards. Tyreek Hill's definitely on that pace, as he just broke 1,000 yards, fastest player to ever break 1,000 yards through in a season. It only took him 8 weeks. So, man, I would say A.J. Brown, only because the Tyreek Hill market is a lot harder to get into. You know, he doesn't have nearly as many rookie cards from 2016. He didn't get the rated rookie out of Optic. He didn't have the draft capital. He slid because of those character issues. The Chiefs ended up taking a shot on him. Obviously, paid off. But so he doesn't have nearly as many rookie cards that are investable, in my opinion, than A.J. Brown does. So it's a little bit easier to get into. And I think that those cards for A.J. Brown are going to get into that $50 range by the time we get it deep in the playoffs. Because, I mean, he's become a clear just dominant. He's just popping all the charts in terms of separation, beating double coverage, man coverage. You can't cover him.
Andy Kaysen from footballcardquest.com, part of the nooffseason.com sports card network. The one and only place really to go get deep dives into football cards. And before we hand it back over to Chad Gill for his W of the week, I wanted to ask Andy a couple questions related to some of the topics we've heard so far. So Greeny Green in the live chat said he got a Will Levis silver and orange out of 199 mosaic for $70 right before the game. I noticed Levis was named the starter, I don't know, an hour or two before the game, say, and I almost sent out a sell alert to our text subscribers. So if you want to get sell alerts, you can text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. We text you when there is a moment to list cards. And to me, it was a sell alert for Will Levis. But I wanted to ask Andy, because I think this could go both ways. Greeny Green picked one up right before the game. Obviously, that's a risk that probably paid off for Greeny Green because of how well Will Levis played. In my mind, I like to take the risk out of it, and I like to sell upon the news of a player getting some kind of a hype spike and not necessarily roll the dice on their performance. Looks like Greeny Green took the parlay, and that's probably going to pay off. Would you, if you were Greeny Green, would you sell Will Levis card? Would you list it for sale now that he bought before the game? And then a follow-up question, generally, what's your sports card strategy related to this, Andy? Because like the NFL news in the NFL moves so fast. I heard you mention a guy, Pierre Strong in Cleveland, the Cleveland running back, Pierre Strong. You sniped one of his rookie ticket autos for like less than $5, I think, last week in anticipation of him filling in for Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt, obviously, and Nick Chubb is out. So I guess my second question, so first question again is, what should people like Greeny Green do with Will Levis now? And second question is, what's your general strategy related to like news like this breaking? Do you buy or do you sell, or does it depend on the card and the deal and everything? Because the reason I ask is because like I would think when you list a buy it now item, a lot of times you're trying to bake in pricing that you think is going to be there during a hype crescendo. So to buy a card like that upon the news of a player to me feels a little bit risky, but that's just me. What's your sports card strategy related to that?
Yeah, it is really risky to buy now. You have to be very careful, but sometimes you will find brand new listings from sellers that don't know what they have. And they're probably ripping it out of packs and boxes because that product is still right now the main. I have it in the top three of my set rankings, only behind Panini Black and those rookie Premier Hollows. So it's a top three set right now in the football card hobby for 2023 rookies, especially quarterbacks that have Fanatics exclusive deals like Will Levis. And so, it's going to be really tough to buy, but you do have those people. If you want to filter by new listing, that's going to be your best way to go. Potentially find, if you can find like a silver prism, a silver mosaic right now for in that $20 to $30 range, you know, you have instant profit. Those are now in that $50 range. And I would be looking to sell those and hit once I hit my desired gross profit margin, which is typically around 50% or a double up on the card. I don't, you know, the Titans, they're actually 3-4. I said 4-4, but they're actually 3-4. And I still don't see this team in the AFC making a big run. And how can you get a better start to your career than four touchdowns out of the gate? So he's going to regress back to the norm or the mean at some point. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. Right now, he's even regressing a little bit. So, you know, the NFL is very dynamic. And you know, what the teams you thought were good 2 to 3 weeks ago now are not looking so hot. Like the 49ers are coming off of 3 losses in a row. And if you had Brock Purdy before the season and you sold him when you hit your profit margin, you wouldn't be faced with a situation where you are now, where you're holding and you're having a harder time selling because you bought it at an inflated price on the way up, thinking it was going to keep going up. Whereas, you know, these teams, they go through these cycles. And right now, you know, it's hard to project if Will Levis is going to regress. He's going to go up against Pittsburgh and then Tampa and then Jacksonville. So this is a tough 3-game stretch of road games up ahead that he's likely going to regress back to the norm and look like a normal guy, at least to some degree, to where his cards cool off a little bit. That's just, you know, what I've seen happen time and time again. So I would sell once I hit that desired profit margin.
Absolutely. I'm in lockstep with you on this. I think the whole buying and a buy it now in a situation like that is very risky. I'm glad it paid off for Greeny Green. I think Greeny Green should probably sell that card right now. I think you got to move in and out very quickly in the football market during the season. That's what Andy's very good at. So you got to pay attention to what Andy's saying on a daily basis at footballcardquest.com. And you also got to sign up for our text alerts, for our sell alerts. So text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. Spoiler alert, coming up in my sells of the week segment, Will Levis is definitely in there. Dr. Crack, Chad Gill's light has already gone off twice. So Crack's not moving around as much, I think, as he normally does in the office because the motion sensor's not picking him up. Chad, over to you for your W of the week, man.
Yeah. All right. So my W of the week, I got a couple of them. One is my Corbin Carroll. So when we told everybody to sell all of their Diamondbacks and Phillies early, like around the second round, we're like, sell them now before they hit. I sold them all off. I made good money. I did a play where I did 20 Corbin Carrolls, made good money on them. And because I made good money, I kept a Sapphire PSA 10, put it in my safe as my PC. I didn't care what it was worth. It was free because of the money I made from the play. So I put it away. I had bought that card a year ago for $5. I sent it in with, you know, the $19 order early this spring. And it came back at 10. So I just had it sitting in there. And then I was sitting there the other night going, you know what? I never touch my PC cards, but this is an instant where I just think I'm going to be able to buy that card back between now and Christmas for half of what I'm going to get for it right now. Chad, stop getting in your own way. Go to the safe, grab the card, list it to eBay, and get it gone. And I did that. The most recent sale on there was $175. So I put it at $225 and thought, if I sell it, I sell it. If I don't, I don't really care. And in the seventh inning of game two, somebody smacked the buy it now. And so I sold the Corbin Carroll, picked up $200 profit. And I do want that card in my PC, so I will buy it back when it hits about $125 or $50, and that'll still give me $100 profit, and I end up with the same card. My other one, talking about Will Levis, so I'm in the garage. So yesterday I did a little pigeon work. Then I'm in the garage. I've got a 65 GTO that I'm redoing the motor and tranny and stuff to get ready to give to my son. And I'm working underneath the car, putting the transmission back in, getting the linkage hooked up. And so I missed all the afternoon game. So when I came in the house last night and I saw that Will Levis like was blowing up, I thought, oh my God, this is a great time to sell Will Levis. So I went 3 weeks ago, whenever Mosaic came out, I went to a card show and I purposely looked through the guy had just thousands of Mosaic cards that he had broke. So I was looking for all the higher name quarterbacks that were in the $1 to $5 box. And I picked up 5 Mosaic Silver Will Levises. I got five for $20. I picked up five and I'm like, they were $4 a piece. I said to the guy, tell you what, he had them at $5 a piece. I said, I'll take all five. I'll give you $20. The guy said, okay. I listed them all last night at Buy It Now's. They were sold within an hour. I sold all five of them for $250. So that was a $230 play. So that was a, I almost missed it because I was working on my car in the garage and I came in and the ticker's rolling across on Sunday Night Football. And I'm like, we'll have four touchdowns. What did I miss? Oh my God. So I think that Will Levis right now is an absolute positively, no questions asked, sell. There's no middle ground on this. Sell. Four touchdowns in a debut. It doesn't get any better. I don't care if he throws four more this next week. Right now, man, sell Will Levis.
Love it. Dr. Crack Chad Gill bringing it strong in his win of the week. I can't even wait till he brings it strong in who he's buying because he always does that every week. Selling Corbin Carroll at the right time for sure. Lefty McKee is missing some great pigeon talk today, but he did submit a note saying that he sold some Adolis Garcia Bowman Chrome autos over the weekend for some profits. So shout out to Lefty for that, as well as some other Rangers, Jonah Heim, Corey Seager. So definitely a good time to get those guys listed. More on that at nooffseason.com, where Connor will have our buys and sells of the week up. So pumped about that. Okay. So one more win actually, before I get into my big card win and start breaking it down for you guys. Dr. Crack Chad Gill's making the rounds in the nooffseason.com sports card network. Word on the street is that he's got an interview scheduled with Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest coming up, and he's got an interview scheduled with Gary from Hoops and Cards coming up. So look for Dr. Crack on the Football Card Quest and on Hoops and Cards coming up soon. So pumped about that. All right, guys, get ready. Get ready for me to talk for a long time. I'm just going to throw that out there. And then you guys can ask any questions you want. And then we're going to get into Connor and the audience for all of your L's and W's. Wemby Tops Now play recap. First, let's rewind ourselves to the decision point. The decision point for these cards was in June. Now, in June, I was just coming off a massive profit from the Sports Illustrated for Kids flip that I had executed. And I said, I think Wemby is like the guy where I can implement my theory that you can just make money on one player over and over and over again. And sure enough, Topps Now decides to release two different Wemby cards in the span of like 48 hours. One was 472, which is the Yankees jersey juggling baseballs where he threw out the first pitch before the NBA draft. And then the second one was the green suit, D1, draft pick overall one from draft night. Now, these cards have high gem rates, so I said, okay, the play is I'm going to buy 20 of each of these for around $100 each. A little bit more because the sales tax in Tennessee sucks, but that's okay. About $109 for 20 cards. Get 40 total cards, 20 of each. High gem rate. In my mind, I'm not even taking these little fuckers out of the box. I'm just throwing them directly to PSA. Throw them directly to PSA. 38 out of 40 come back PSA 10. Two of the D1s were 9, so I sold those early. So you're not even going to hear about the PSA 9 in this breakdown. Those two PSA 9s, but the 38 PSA 10s. Here's the breakdown. 20 total transactions across 30 eBay sales. I'm just cutting to the chase here because otherwise this would be way too long. $1,238.98 net profit. That's net profit. That's after all fees. And I'm gonna go through just a quick breakdown of how I calculated this. That's $61.95 profit per transaction. Now, that data point to me represents I'm a busy person. I have things to do. I don't want to spend too much time mailing cards because then that kind of is something that I need to take out of my ROI. So I don't want to spend that much time mailing cards because my wife asks me, what's your profit And how many freaking cards do you have to mail? Because that takes up your time. $62 each time I stuck a card in between two pieces of cardboard, slapped a sticker on the front to promote my business, threw it in a padded envelope, and put it in the mail. $62 each time I did that. So that feels pretty good. 10 Whatnot sales at a total of $468.26 net profit at $47 profit per transaction. So not as much profit on the Whatnot sales. For me personally, Lefty, I think Lefty's cards actually did better. So there were 38 total cards in our Whatnot stream. 18 were, or sorry, there were, yeah, there were 38. 28 were Lefty's, 10 were mine. Okay. His profit per transaction was a little bit higher, but not much. $47 profit per transaction, still pretty high. So out of 40 total cards, the total cost on the cards. So that now I'm going to, like, how much cash do you have to have in your bankroll to execute these types of plays? I needed to have a total of $980 to make the Wemby play up front. It takes money to make money, right? So the breakdown here is to buy the 40 total cards, I needed $220. To grade them, I needed an additional $760. So the total cash I invested was $980. I'm not even going to bore you with, I mean, you could do the math yourself. The total gross doesn't matter, right? A lot of people throw around the total gross, but I'm talking profit after eBay fees, after grading fees, after shipping, all of that. Total net profit on my entire Wemby play, $1,701.24. That includes the eBay and the Whatnot. Profit per transaction combined, so total time spent, all that stuff, $57 each time I had to stick a card into an envelope and mail it. So very, very happy about the breakdown. Now, for a little additional data, Lefty's cards on... I don't have that pulled up. Sorry. But I know it off the top of my head. Lefty's cards on Whatnot did a total of about $1,300 gross profit. So that's with, I haven't subtracted any potential Whatnot fees from that. But I mean, Lefty executed this as well as I did. We did it in lockstep together and we won. We're winning. So definitely happy about that Wemby play. Needed to share that. And I'll let you all just take that all in, let it sink in. And Connor, I'm going to pass it over to you for the audience L's and W's of the week, man.
Yeah, the good, a lot of, we'll start with a big win, first shreds.
Connor's coming in. Hey, Connor, you're coming in very slow and not audibly strong right now. So something might be up with your tech side of things. So just very slow and raspy. So I'm gonna let you look into that, and I'm gonna take the W's and L's of the week from the audience real quick. So Craig's Cards 11 had a big win over the weekend, hit a Jackson Holiday first red sapphire out of 5 in a pick your team break. That's amazing. We've got Shane Graham with an L of the week, spending 13 hours Saturday at his daughter's travel basketball tournament, missed out on a few auctions. Sounds like also a W because you got to spend some time with your daughter, but that's definitely missing out is not great. We got a W from Janelle Hsu, riding the Levis hype and selling PSA 10 refractor first. Okay, PSA 10 refractor first. So is that a Bowman? Maybe a Bowman U. Andy thinks it's a Bowman U. I agree. Profiting close to double what she bought it for. Congrats, Janelle. Buying a lot of 10 PSA 10 Xavier Isaac Sapphires at about $15 per card under comps. That sounds like something Lefty would get pumped about if he were here, and Chad's probably pretty pumped about it. Derek, looks like Kunzman, sounds like Kunzman, having his cards sorted and ready to post as a W of the week. Love that. That's right. You got to spend some time organizing, getting everything listed in your drafts like Dr. Crack and I do. Posting Levis mosaic parallels at halftime, selling for $45 raw, basically executing what Andy was talking about. Ben Dowson, the house, was a submitter of the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell this last week. Did a strong job. If you want to get in on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, email Connor at nooffseason.com. His wins of the week, Tyrese Maxey looking good without Harden, and Cam Thomas cards are back on fire. Yeah, brother. Cam Thomas is a win for me too. Stay tuned in a couple of weeks for my Cam Thomas win of the week. It's going to be strong. L of the week, Malik Willis, bought the wrong guy. Okay, that can happen in football. Andy might talk about that in a little bit. Shoes, W of the week, fall ball baseball team made it to the next round in the regional tournament. All right, Shoes. I'm not going to say Woo Pig, even though I just said Woo Pig. Mark Drazinski, W of the week, picking up Trey McBride rookie ticket autos for $5. The future looks bright. Greeny Green, W of the week, MMA, proving it's superior to boxing. And Maxey playing like an all-star. A lot of Tyrese Maxey wins. We've been on him for a while, so that feels good. Luke Menkel, W of the week, going to the Dallas Card Show this weekend. Can't wait. Please say hello to our friends Chase and Cody Krim. Shout out to the Krim Brothers of Texas Roadshow Cards. All right, Connor, I had to step in due to your technical difficulties. No worries. Got through the audience W's of the week and L's of the week. So you've heard me talk a lot now, but I'm going to talk about who I'm buying. And I'm really curious to hear Chad and Andy's thoughts on this. Okay. Patrick Mahomes is a buy. I am scouring for Patrick Mahomes cards that I can afford. I don't know if I can afford his 2017 Don Russ base PSA 10 pop 1501 or his 2017 Optic base PSA 10 pop 4156, but those are each down over the last 30 days, according to marketmoversapp.com. You can save 20% after a free 14-day trial by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. And you can go to Andy's Andy's Keep 'em web app at footballcardquest.com and click the Go Premium button. That's a very strong app as well to track the data on these types of cards. But Patrick Mahomes, those cards are down. There's going to be links to the ones we think you can get for a snipe price at nooffseason.com. I'm going to puff my chest out a little bit on this call and say I was right about Brock Purdy. If you go back a few episodes, I said to sell him a few weeks ago. I said you could buy him back later. It looks like now it is time to potentially buy Brock Purdy again. His prices have dipped a little bit, probably a little bit due to the midseason lull that Andy talks about, but probably also due to the fact that he hasn't played well the last few weeks. His Prism-based PSA 10 and his Optic-based PSA 10 are both down 20% over the last 30 days. We're going to have links to some snipe prices that we think you can get at nooffseason.com this week for his 2022 Optic Holo PSA 10, which is also down 32% over the last 30 days, and his 2022 Prism Silver PSA 10, which is those last two ones are better because they're hollow and silver, down 22% over the last 30 days. Justin Fields, 2021 Prism Variation. Andy and I liked these last year when they first came out. I don't know if Andy still likes them or not. He'll talk about that in a second. Prism Variation PSA, Variation Silver PSA 10, down 49% in the last 30 days. His Optic Holo PSA 10 is down 46% over the last 30 days. So, and then there's going to be MMA cards that we talked about on the Overflow show on Friday. We're going to link to those MMA cards that we think are good buys now in the article for premium members at nooffseason.com. So check that out. All right. Thank you for listening to me for about 20 straight minutes. Chad, who are you buying?
All right. Well, for baseball, I am still buying Jackson Holliday, Jackson Churio, and James Wood heavily. Those, as you've heard me say it, my plan is to have 20 PSA 10s of every one of the top 10 players in our baseball rankings. I already have 20 of Holliday, Churio, and Wood. However, as their prices continue to slide and as they are still available during the World Series, I think you're going to start to see these cards become harder to find after the World Series is over and people focus on baseball and basketball. I think you're going to see less sellers selling these cards. So I am trying to scoop them up while they are still available. I'm still going to look at them in December when the prices dip, but the problem there is that you don't have a lot of availability. As far as buying football, I have a note at my house that reminds me I've done it too many times. Football cards start to slip mid-season. I love mid-season buys, but I've done it too many times where I could have gotten them cheaper 3, 4, 5 years in a row, and I will not buy the dip until after week 8, because week 8 is when cards really start to slide. It's been 3 years in a row. This has proven to be true. So I have yet to slap any buy it nows on any dips in football, although I think there's some great buys. I am still holding off one more week on my football buys and basketball buys. So this might surprise people. Basketball season has started. You've heard Paul say he's recommending selling all your NBA players. I have not sold any NBA players. I have not listed any of my NBA players. What I like to do with NBA is I like to watch the silver prisms because they're the first card to jump. They're always the indicator. They are the index of what a player's cards are going to do. They're the most liquid. They're the most desirable. They may not be rookie ticket autos, but they are they're kind of like the stock index. The only player right now that has a silver that is jumping hard is Zion. But when you look at all of Zion's other cards, they are down 8 to 10% in the first week of the season, and he's healthy, okay? But the fact that his silver is starting to jump, and it's up about 20%, that tells me that all of the other Zion cards, the tide is about to rise. So you look for the silvers. When the silvers go up, that is a time that you follow all the other suits. So I am going to get my Zions listed this week in anticipation that those are about to soar like the silver. I do not list them until I watch that silver go up. But there are some good buys right now. Luka down 10% in the first week, having just dropped a triple-double. Embiid is down. Giannis is down. There's some buys to be had yet in this first week. Watch the silver prisms on Market Movers when they start to go up, even if it's 3 to 5%. That's your time. That's your indicator to sell your basketball cards.
Are those three guys down as a whole, or are there specific cards that you're recommending?
All across the board. I was looking last night. I don't see there were only 3 basketball cards that I could find, significant basketball cards. Now, I didn't look at the low dollar Panini stuff or the Leaf stuff. I was looking pretty much at their top 4 or 5 cards that people would invest in, specifically the silvers, which is what I use as my indicator. And there were only 3 players that were up. Jordan Poole is up. Zion is up, and Cam Thomas is up. Those 3 guys are the only 3 guys that their silvers are up significantly. There's a lot of them that I consider plus or minus 5% to be flat. To me, that's not a significant movement. I look for 10 plus percent. When it gets over 10%, now you're talking, you can make a margin to buy or sell and make a little bit of money. So I'm looking at plus or minus 10%. There's 3 players, and those are it. Everybody else is flat or down to start the season. And of course, Wemby doesn't really have any. He doesn't have a silver. All he's got is his Bowman and some of his Panini stuff. So I didn't group Wemby into there. But yeah. So I'm still looking at. I'm actively looking to still buy the star basketball players because they have not jumped yet, and they're gonna. But I think a lot of that is right now you've got hockey starting. I mean, this is one of the only times a year you have hockey, you have soccer, you have baseball, you have basketball, you have football. I mean, you've got MMA. You know, you've got so many things right now distracting people that it's hard for any one price to really skyrocket. Jalen Hurts, to Andy's point, Jalen Hurts card should be just, they should be double right now from where they were 30 days ago, shouldn't they? They're heading in the right direction. But in my opinion, for what he's accomplishing, they should have doubled since August. They haven't yet. I think they're gonna.
He's not really the type of guy though that'll double just because he's not a rookie and he is a part of this incredible system in Philadelphia. So it's like once they get to the championship game and the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, yeah, you're gonna see them. But you know, he is at a new floor. Like back before the season, the summer, you could have got a Jalen Hurts rookie ticket auto still for around $600. Now that floor, I'm looking at about $1,100. So, mm-hmm. You know, there is, you know, sectors of his market that have established what I think is a new floor for Jalen Hurts closer to Herbert and Burrow.
So I want to point something out real quick because I think Chad has a lot of success flipping sports cards to fund his life, fund his PC, fund his potentially flipping of pigeons and cars. But he says he doesn't mix those buckets of money. So I'll believe him. I'll take his word for that. But point is, Chad has a lot of success. What I want to point out here, though, for everybody is that there's different strokes for different folks. I'm not executing the strategy that Chad just articulated because to me, it's a little risky, and I'm going to explain why. I'm not good at predicting all of those basketball players Chad mentioned, Embiid, Luka, Giannis. I'm going to be a little bit more emotionally involved in a prediction that's going to affect my accuracy. I'm not good at telling you who's going to win the NBA finals. I'm not good at telling you who's going to be in the conference finals. I'm horrible at that. And so I'm not going to buy basketball players right now. I may buy some, and if there is a December dip like there typically is, I may go after some of the bigger names. Like I mentioned Jason Tatum when I was on Whatnot with Lefty. I said I would be buying Jason Tatum in December. I'm going to look at that. We're talking the rookie Prism Silvers, for clarification, Prism Silvers that Chad's talking about. There are some other cards that are investable. Check out the basketball card rankings at nooffseason.com for more clarification on the cards. But I'm just not as good at predicting who's going to spike in basketball. I'm better at predicting what type of hype will happen off the playing surfaces and buying when no one's looking at those players and then selling when I know everyone's going to be looking at those players. For football, to me, there are more obvious patterns when to do that. And that's why I think I'm more into buying football right now. And so I think, but what's interesting is like, sometimes we're literally like hours away from each other or days away from each other, because like Andy sent me a message last week and was like, bro, I heard on the Overflow show, you said, don't buy any football, right? But I was like, yeah, but that was like literally just this week. And like now it's like the next week. And all you heard in my buy segment, they're all football players. So Andy, talk about buying football right now, man. What why should everybody be looking at buying football, and who do you recommend people buy?
Well, to Chad's point, you know, week 8 is in the books, man. Week 8 is done. We just have tonight. So we're there at that rock bottom for some of these players. So a couple guys that I'm buying, quarterbacks. I think you can buy into Patrick Mahomes, like you mentioned. I think he's in a nice dip right now because we know they're going to be in the playoffs and they're going to be the front runner out of the AFC to go back to the Super Bowl. So I think they're going to be right there. I think you're going through a weird time right now for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's just one of those midseason dips, and it's lining up perfect with being able to snipe his card. So you can see those auctions are down at least 10 to 20%, like you mentioned. And especially after he comes off of a game yesterday where they got horribly upset by the Denver Broncos, who have had one of the worst secondaries and defenses to date this year. And Patrick Mahomes threw two interceptions plus a fumble, a bad, bad outing, and just an embarrassment of a loss for the Chiefs. And so this is the perfect time to buy Patrick Mahomes. If you were going to buy him right now, is a great dip. And we know that on average, his Prizm Silver PSA 10 has like a $4,000 floor, you know, and at one point back in, you know, the end of 2020, beginning of 2021, that was a $10,000 to $12,000 card. But the new realistic floor is about $4,000, but we've seen auctions dip down to $3,200, $3,000. Well, if you've got the bankroll, it's a very safe play with you know, $1,000 upside right there once they get back in the playoffs, because the cards are rare for Patrick Mahomes. And I think the smart thing to do is to target his graded cards, because there's so many reprints, potential fakes out there. I would just shell out the bucks to get into his graded market, whether it's the Optic or the base Donruss. You can get into those for like $600-$700. I mean, well, that's a deal. That's actually a deal that I think has some nice upsides, a very safe play. If you wanted a little bit more risk but a higher reward, I would buy into Justin Fields right now. I think right now is the rock bottom for Justin Fields. I'm looking at his data right now. And by the way, Justin Fields was on track to have a career season before injuring his thumb. He hasn't been placed on IR, so he is going to be back in less than another 2 weeks. So the Tyson Bagent experiment will be over, although he's looked good. Tyson Bagent's got a good arm. I like this. I like Tyson Bagent a lot. Actually, I was very interested and excited to see his story and debut unfold. But Justin Fields is on track for a career year. He's throwing the ball more. He's had DJ Moore, is an incredible addition to the offense. And he is because the Bears right now are on track to get the number one and number two overall picks next year, because they get that first round pick from the Panthers, who are 1-6 and still last place in the league. And so Justin Fields market hitting all-time lows, 52-week lows on his Optic Holo PSA 10. I saw an auction end last night for $69 on an Optic Holo PSA 10. That's a card for Trevor Lawrence that sells for $450. And I'm not saying Justin Fields gets to that Trevor Lawrence level, just gets back to a norm for a first-round quarterback from 2021 with a high athletic ability and solid resume so far in the NFL. So, and you know, the Bears do weird things. I don't know what they're going to, you know, trade before tomorrow, if anybody, but with them having the top two picks next year, I don't know. I just think this is a perfect storm to buy rock bottom Justin Fields, because worst case scenario, they don't trade him. He stays there, and you're going to be right back in the situation next September, where he's hyped up again. Because the guy's still super young and super athletic, and he was already on pace to be a QB1, like a top 10 QB in terms of production on the field this season. So, yeah, he's the big time, I think, the best quarterback to buy into at this point.
Awesome. Andy, before we get to who you're selling, let me ask you a question. So you mentioned the Bears are on pace right now to have the first and second overall picks in the NFL draft in 2024. So is it fair to say Justin Fields' hype spikes either way upon a trade, or, you know, so they could draft my guy Caleb Williams, or if they just keep him and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and somebody else to help out, does that give him a hype spike as well around the so Justin yeah. Fields' hype spike around the NFL draft? Yes. Would you say?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think that is a great marker to look at of when you could sell for a nice profit, or then September of next year. Yeah, I mean, either way I look at it, the Bears are going to be adding a significant component to their team, and Justin Fields is either going to be rumored or he's going to be moved. Maybe he goes to the Vikings, where Kirk Cousins is now done for the year. With a torn Achilles, or maybe goes to the Falcons, where you had Desmond Ridder, who is actually benched. I'm pretty sure he was benched yesterday for Taylor Heinicke. They said he entered concussion protocol, but if you're watching the broadcast, before they could get the report about, oh, he went into concussion protocol, but he came out, he was okay, but he's still benched. It was a coach's decision, according to Scott Hansen. So, you know, it was really interesting to watch that. The Falcons have done some really weird stuff the past couple of weeks between Bijan and now Ridder. And I think Ridder was actually benched yesterday for Taylor Heinicke. So the Falcons are a perfect example of a team that is right in contention with the with actually making the playoffs, because the NFC South is that weak this year, that they are definitely in the market. I could see something going down to where Justin Fields goes to the Falcons. And in return for some additional capital, they feel like Tyson Badgett is going to keep them afloat. I mean, he's been solid. So I don't think that, you know, this is out of the realm of possibility. So there's multiple ways that Justin Fields spikes.
Awesome. We've got Justin Fields at 14th overall in our football card rankings right now. I like the 13 guys we have ahead of him, but I think, Connor, we probably need to move him up maybe into the top five based on this conversation. And we've got some cards that we can link to for you all when we update those rankings. So check in at nooffseason.com and check out footballcardquest.com as well for all of Andy's content. So Andy, we got a lot of questions coming in the live chat for you here. So let's get to your sells of the week, and then we'll do our sells, and then we'll get to the audience QA. Who are you selling right now?
Yeah. So my big sell recommendation, I got two quarterbacks, one from the NFC, one from the AFC. My NFC quarterback to sell is Dak Prescott. He's coming off his best game of the season. The Cowboys are now back up, you know, but they're one of those teams that any given Sunday, they could be potentially upset, and people will look at them differently. So Dak Prescott right now, if you look at his next gen stats, his just at speed, just all around the field, they track the player's speed. His speed has gone down significantly in the past few years. And he's clearly regressing. I think it's a combination of injuries, plus you have coaching issues in Dallas. And I would take advantage of the whole America's team effect in this big game that they had yesterday and look to sell Dak Prescott. I'm seeing some pretty interesting buy it now sold for Dak Prescott this morning and last night. So he would be the guy from the NFC that I would be selling. And from the AFC, I just totally lost my train of thought. Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's a great candidate to look at selling out of the AFC. Do we really think? No, I know who I was actually going to say. Justin Herbert's one of them, but also Josh Allen. I look at some of these teams in the AFC. And they put together good weeks, but then they also put together these really bad weeks, just like when the Bills got shut down by the Patriots a week and a half ago and lost. And they almost lost to the Bucs on Thursday Night Football. So once again, I look at the Bills like this team that's going to be in the playoffs, but ultimately fall short. And then people sour on the Josh Allen market when his cards are so expensive. Like comparison of Brock Purdy to Josh Allen because of how expensive Brock Purdy cards have gotten since before the season till now, in the past 3 weeks before he went on this losing streak. But Josh Allen, I mean, he's right there. If you look at the overall quarterback market, it's really like Patrick Mahomes, and then you go Josh Allen because of the combination of scarcity and how good he's been over the past few years, but he's never gotten to the big game. And so I think that's one thing that's going to plague Josh Allen and then Justin Herbert as well. So I'd be looking to sell both of those guys right now because they're kind of, I think they're riding a little bit of highs, and Justin Herbert's market just from his overall production has been so high in his rookie year. So I think he's a guy that you can look to potentially sell at will.
I like that thought because I think a lot of times, you know, we provide good information around who we think you should buy and sell based on data and based on like some safer, I think these are safer predictions that we throw out there on the Sports Card Strategy Show to help you make money flipping sports cards. I think like most of them are right on the money. We don't always win, but I think we win most of the time. And what Andy's talking about, I think with Herbert and Allen, to me, that fits a slightly different category. That fits a category of like, maybe they don't fit within the trend line of the data graphs and charts, but what they do and could fit for you if you're holding Herbert and Allen cards is they could fit this little pocket of like, everybody can't break out. It's impossible. Every player can't get a hype spike. Every player can't get a performance spike. It's impossible. because when it comes down to it in the NFL, only one of these guys is going to make it to the Super Bowl, and only two of them are going to make it to the AFC or NFC championship game. And so if you've got Herbert and Allen, and then you've got all these other good teams in the AFC, we've already talked about Mahomes, you've got the Jaguars, you know, you don't know who's going to make a run. So like, I just think you have to have the ability to look at your own cards, your own inventory, go back and see, what did I pay for these cards? Is there other things I want to move into? And should I sell these guys? Whether or not they're necessarily players that we're saying are up or down, I think Andy brings up good points with those quarterbacks, Dak, Herbert, Allen, guys like that. Should be liquid, should be easy to move. And would it make sense for you to move those guys? Look at your own portfolios, and you can ask us specific questions. We'll answer on the Overflow show. Go to nooffseason.com/ask/ask. So Chad, over to you. You're the expert on the panel of basically building a PC. And I would think that you have to make that decision quite a bit. Like, this guy might not be up a ton. It might not be like a marker, but do I need to move them now for whatever reason to get into something else or to get some cash flow back? But maybe talk about that real quick and then tell us who you're selling.
Yeah. So there's a lot of markers that you have to look at. Heard me talking about the Prizm Silvers that I look at. Prizm Silver, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, Prizm Silver is one of the things. Well, baseball is Bowman first, but football and basketball, I look at Prizm Silvers as the ticker, like a NASDAQ type thing. And I look for buying and selling opportunities based on when a player's silver Prizm either jumps or falls, all of the other cards typically follow behind it. So where I had said before, I wait till after week 8 to buy. So these would have been buys for next week, but since we're talking about it, we're past 8 week. I'm looking at three quarterbacks: Trevor Lawrence, because he has underperformed to his expectation level so far this year, but I think the Jaguars are going to be there in the end. Patrick Mahomes, because as Andy said, he's underperforming, but they're going to be there in the end. And then Justin Fields, because I believe he's an extreme talent. And his silver Prizm PSA 10s were selling for $350 just 3 weeks ago, and now one last night sold for $177. I mean, $175 or $80 for a guy of his talent level for a PSA 10 silver. It's free money, because whether he gets traded or whether he comes back and performs like he had done the previous 2 weeks before getting injured, there's going to be hyper on the guy, and the guy's cards are going to go back up. So that's what I look for when I'm looking to try and make some money on flips. As far as who's I'm selling, this is your final warning. You're ringing the bell for baseball players. This is the World Series, guys. This is the pinnacle. If you tried to time it at the top, this is your week. Get rid of them now. This is it. Next week, they're starting to drop. So whether you got Corbin Carroll, Evan Carter, Garcia, doesn't matter who you got, this is your final week. Get rid of them unless you plan on holding them for your PC. And then Wembanyama cards, the hype has gotten, whether his play has gotten him there or not, the hype, the first week hype. I bought those two cards off of the Whatnot stream. I haven't gotten them yet. I'll probably get them in the mail today.
You should get them today. I just got a notification.
I bought them, one for $75, one for $76. I sold one of them's on auction, and right now it's still got 3 days to go. It's at $74. The other one, I put $125 buy it now, and somebody smacked the buy it now. So after fees, I'm going to profit $30 or $40. On a card I didn't have, I didn't buy. I bought it on the Whatnot stream. Connor and I were shouting to everybody, if you're watching us, what are you doing? Get over to Whatnot. Their cards are free. Go get yourself some free money. Go buy the cards. And I would, for anybody that bought on the Whatnot stream, if you're watching right now, don't get cute. Don't try and hang on to the cards. Take the profit. Paul and Lefty profited. Profit's not a bad word. Take the profit. Right now, those cards sold on the Whatnot stream cheap enough that you can make $30 to $50. List those cards right now.
Profit is not a bad word. We can all win because Lefty and I bought directly from Tops now. People can still win by buying and flipping the PSA 10s like you're doing, Chad. So good call. And you trusted the seller and you trusted the U.S. Postal Service and listed the card based on the photos before you actually had the card. We actually had a great Overflow Show question come in this past week from somebody who's getting burned by that. And yeah, check that out. Check out the Overflow Show. I think that happens to all of us and there's ways to deal with it. But Chad, your card should be there today. You should be good to go. All right, I'm going to get into who I'm selling and then we'll move into the audience QA. So I try to pound this through everyone's head that I don't play this flipping game based on any kind of performance indicators. There's sometimes I do, and that'll be a win of the week in the future for me. So stay tuned for that. But 99% of what I'm doing is not performance based. It's based on me getting rid of the cards for a profit before the player hits the playing surface or the fighter hits the octagon or whatever you want to say. The golfer hits the links, doesn't matter. Because I don't want to take the risk of how well they're going to play or get injured or all that stuff. So my entire basketball liquidation strategy was built around what Dr. Crack mentioned a minute ago, which is selling all of my NBA cards all now. Because Andy and Carter talk about this on one of Andy's pods on the Football Card Quest, where they talk about NFL hype spikes. What's the difference between a hype spike and a performance spike? To me, the hype spike is not risky at all because you have hype leading into a season. You have media coverage, you have renewed interest, you have viewers on the games. A performance spike is where you're taking the risk and you're making more of a sports bet and saying, I believe I want to hold on to this guy's card because I think he's going to perform this way. Thus, it's going to really spike his cards. So really, I think hype should be more of a performance rise in prices and not necessarily a spike. I just say hype spike for short. Whereas a performance is truly like a spike. So my entire basketball liquidation strategy was to liquidate now, this past week of the NBA season tipping off. So there's only one basketball card that I'm holding after this week, and it is an Anthony Edwards 2020 Prism Silver PSA 10. The reason I'm holding that card is because if you go back and look at the historical data of the top players in the NBA and their Prism Silver PSA 10s, they have some of the most liquid and highest upside. They have the highest ceiling of liquid cards. And the reason, to me, that's a perfect combination because you might have cards with higher upside, but there's not as much sales data. So you can risk maybe not selling for the price that you think you should sell it for because the last comp was less than what you thought it should be. Whereas the comp before that was huge, right? So that's a little risky. Whereas the liquidity of the Prism Silver PSA 10 rookie for the top basketball players give you that mix of you're going to have the sales data to prove that you should get XYZ price for the card. And then you're also going to have the upside of that short printed card in a PSA 10. So Anthony Edwards, to me, projects as one of the top five NBA players off into the future. That could be a card that I hold for a long time, or it could be a card that if he has a performance spike, like I just talked about, I could get rid of that card and you could see a sell alert. Text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. Totally agree with Dr. Crack on Corbin Carroll. Everything Dr. Crack said regarding baseball is right on the money. Do not hold for like a rookie of the year. Rookie of the year's built baked into his prices already, so sell him now. Jude Bellingham 2020 Topps Chrome Bundesliga base PSA 10 and 2020 Topps Now Bundesliga base PSA 10 are up. These are common cards, liquid cards. There's nothing really special about these cards. He just scored two goals in El Clasico. I believe one of them was a game winner against Barcelona. So I think that, you know, I don't blame you if you want to keep your bigger rookie autos for Jude because he's definitely going to be one of the best players in the world for a long time. But I think you need to get rid of these cards. Zach LaVine, rookie PSA 10s from 2014. He just had a 50-point game over the weekend. It was in a loss against the Detroit Pistons, but a 51-point game. His 2014 hoops-based PSA 10, his 2014 Prism blue-green mosaic PSA 10, and his 2014 Select Premier Level Silver PSA 10 are all up. Dr. Crack hit on Zion. I would sell Zion now. Dude's about to get injured. His 2019 Donruss base PSA 10 is up 40%. It's a pop 4,500. Chances are many of you have those cards. I would list those to sell. Dude is going to get injured. We talked, like, we literally, if you go back and you listen to Sports Card Strategy show from like 2 to 3 weeks ago, we literally say buy Zion and then sell him when he puts up a few good games in a row, because then he will get injured. I hope he doesn't, but historical data, trends, everything, anecdotes point to Zion getting injured. We talked about Will Levis a lot. He's up. DeAndre Hopkins is now relevant. I would sell both of those guys. Crack already said Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's 2019 Prism-based PSA 10 is up 6%. I agree with Chad in that that's not necessarily like up, but Jordan Poole is Jordan Poole, so I would move out of him right now. I mean, he could put up a couple 40-point games in the in-season tournament like Connor and I talked about, so maybe hold for that. Hopefully that'll happen. One other thing I want to hit on before we get to audience Q&A real quick and wrap up the show is there was an anomaly sale, and this happens every once in a while. An anomaly sale of a Bryce Young 2023 Mosaic Draft Pick Base Raw. Okay, that card is a $4 card. There was a sale that was recorded over the weekend for $238 for that Raw card. That sale was recorded on last week, 9 days ago, October 21st. So in Market Movers, in Sports Card Investor, it's showing that as like a top card. Now, don't expect anywhere near $238 for that card, but if you have that card, just go ahead and list it for sale, because you probably, there's a chance you could get more than $4 for it just due to that one anomaly sale. I think that probably that data will be cleaned up. So before it's cleaned up, that's probably a play you could take advantage of. Go back through all the cards you might have tossed into your dollar boxes and maybe go list that one for sale and see if you can get it for more than $4. Don't expect $238. That is not a $238 card. That's barely even a dollar card. All right, Connor, let's see how you're sounding, brother. How you sounding, man?
Hopefully better. How we sounding?
Check, check, 1, 2. Sounds amazing. All right.
Thank
you. I'm going to let you take us through our audience live chat Q&A, and then I've got some from Instagram that I'll wrap up the show with. So over to you, Connor.
Sounds good. Let's start with a question from Trevor Beagle. This one's for Dr. Crack. What is a price range you'd feel comfortable paying for a Jace Young auto out of $499?
Well, he didn't say if it was a graded or ungraded. If right now, that's a card that Lefty and I are targeting. I've got two of them in Raw that I've recently purchased. I got one for $115 and one for $127 on eBay auction. So I would be comfortable with that card anywhere in that $120 to $135 range. And if you're buying that card in a PSA 10, you should be able to get that card right now somewhere in the 250 to 275 range. And I think that those are both good buys right now. That card should jump next year at time of call up.
Awesome. Thank you, Chad. And keep an eye out, guys, for the next rendition of the updated baseball rankings over at nooffseason.com. Those should be out within the next couple of days. I know Lefty's hard at work on those. Let's move over to Andy for a question from Brian Steeler. Actually, a two-part question, really. What players do you think will be traded by tomorrow, as well as is Sam Howell a sell now? I think he threw for almost 400 yards this weekend and had a monster performance.
Yeah, he did. He's a fan favorite in Washington. The new ownership and the GMs, they like him. I think a lot of people are wanting to get Ron Rivera out of there. I think if you get a new head coach in Washington, potentially even maybe promote Eric Bieniemy, that would excite some Washington fans. Got a lot of Washington fans in our Discord that I've been talking to. So a lot of them want to see new coaching there. I think Sam Howell's still got a lot of room for growth in the football card market. I think that his card values are pretty low compared, especially compared to like Brock Purdy. But I mean, they're about the same levels as like a Desmond Ridder. I think Sam Howell's got a little bit more upside than that. I think Sam Howell's kind of an interesting guy to buy right now. If the Commanders stick with him next year, I think the prices could go up a little bit. Other guys that could be traded, definitely the Denver Broncos have a lot of guys on the trade block. I think the primary one is Jerry Jeudy. So I think we could be at a point where there's going to be a text alert to sell Jerry Jeudy. If he gets traded and his cards spike, his play has definitely regressed. He's not the guy that was advertised in the first round of the 2020 draft. He's probably one of the worst guys that was drafted in the first round of 2020, besides, you know, maybe Jalen Reagor. Jerry Jeudy is not that good, just a guy to use a line from Steve Smith Sr. there. But no, even if you look at his numbers on paper, he's not that great. So I would definitely be looking to sell Jerry Jeudy if he gets traded, and that news spike will definitely cause a spike in his rookie card values. But you know, you've definitely got like the biggest decision points, I think, are going to be coming from the Vikings now, because they had just strung together several wins. They got back to a 500 record, the NFC North kind of wide open besides the Lions, but the Lions just got, you know, steamrolled by the Ravens last week. So you wonder if they're just kind of regressing back to the norm there. They've got a big matchup tonight. So I think the Vikings are an interesting team to watch here as we enter the trade deadline tomorrow. You also have Davante Adams and the Raiders. He's clearly unhappy there. And the Raiders do play tonight, and they're 3-4. We know they're out. They're not going to be making the playoffs, especially from the AFC West. It's just a very long shot. I think Davante Adams could be traded. That could be massive as well. And adds a lot of fuel. What if he gets traded to the Chiefs or the Chargers, who do need wide receiver depth? I mean, that would be massive. You know, his cards would spike. You kind of have to pay in for him, but you're buying into a Hall of Famer. It's kind of like, you know, buying into Travis Kelce, but before he started dating Taylor Swift. This is one Taylor Swift reference in the stream. Had to have it.
Got to throw it in there. Yeah, good breakdown from Andy there. Andy, I'm actually going to give you a little bit of a follow-up question. You were talking about the Vikings a little bit. With Justin Jefferson being out, it looks like it'll probably be between seven or 8 weeks from the initial point of injury. If they decide to shut him down for the season, will that be a point where it's almost an immediate buy option? Will we see a big dip from him if they shut him down?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people that hold on to Justin Jefferson rare cards pretty close to the vest. I think he's got a very wide personal collection base now. But I do see his more common cards, the cards like Dr. Crack said, you know, those prism silvers, those optic hollows I've seen for Justin Jefferson get into that $50 to $70 range all day long. Some of his prism silver selling for $100 raw sometimes. So if you got your photography good, you got your listing set up right, you could put yourself into a situation where you could potentially snipe those for that $20 range because of the injury and the falling out of the Vikings. And only for them to spike. Maybe they spike in the draft period because the Vikings figure out a way to draft one of these elite quarterbacks. We know there's a deep quarterback pool coming out in the 2024 draft. And then you also have September, where Justin Jefferson's right back in the thick of it as being the number one. You know, obviously it's going to be a lot harder this next year, right? People are going to be, you know, drafting Tyreek Hill or AJ Brown potentially over Justin Jefferson in the first round of fantasy drafts, but he's still going to be right there. You know, he's going to be right there. And so, yeah, I think we're in a situation where some of those mid-tier cards for Justin Jefferson are going to be very obtainable for a low price that you can profit on. And maybe you can find yourself a deal on some more rare cards, or maybe a rookie auto.
Awesome. Thank you so much there, Andy. Paul, let's head over to you. We got a question from Luke Mankel. Could we potentially be having problems moving forward with all of us trying to buy and sell the same cards at the same time? Is the nooffseason.com making a market ripple effect here? What are you thinking, Paul?
Luke, I love that you threw this out there, and thanks, Connor. And by the way, Chad, we know you got to run, so have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. While we have you, Chad, quick announcement. Dr. Crack and Lefty are both going to be creating additional content throughout every week with us in Sports Card Strategy Show Wednesday Deep Dives. They're each going to have an additional show on Wednesdays to go Sports Card Strategy Show Deep Dive. So basically two more hours of Sports Card Strategy Show during the week, starting not this week, but next week. So Dr. Crack, looking forward to that. It'll be more time for you to drop your knowledge on the network. Have a great day, man.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
All right. So, Luke, could we be having potential problems moving forward with all of us, aka the nooffseason.com family, trying to buy and sell the same cards at the same time, especially baseball prospecting? The answer is no. No, we could not potentially be having problems. We will be winning because we are a family that is a niche within a sports card market that includes millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people across the globe. And we are a niche family. As much as I would love to have millions and millions of us, we're nowhere near that right now, guys. And we probably won't get there. We probably will get to hundreds of thousands, which would be awesome. Maybe even a million plus, but even then we will still be about 1-5% of the entire sports card market, because Fanatics is going to keep growing it and growing it and growing it with all of their amazing integrated marketing skills with all of the leagues. And guys, that is not something to worry about. You are overthinking that. So just keep listening to us, keep reading our content, and you will win. You will make money flipping sports cards. I'm going to leave it at that. Luke, thanks for bringing it up though. Connor, you're muted, brother, but there you go. Go. Just going to fill the space here while you unmute yourself.
Yep, okay. Sorry about that. Good stuff there, Paul. I think that might be our last question, but I did want to give a quick shout out to Scott Goldsmith, who was able to join the live this morning for one of his first times. He's recovering from an injury. So we wish and hope you a quick recovery there. And thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, absolutely. Get well soon, Scott. Thanks for tuning in. I know Janelle Hsu had to step out. She's going to come back and listen. Barry Siff woke up late because we stream at 5 a.m. Pacific time. So Barry, good to see you were able to catch the end of the show and the live stream. Go back and listen to the entire show on Apple or Spotify, or check it out at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Drop a comment below. And for those of you who want to hit me up on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy, we've got people like Adrian, and we've got people like Homer Sports Cards and Fly Heat Cards who are dropping great ideas into the chat. Adrian and Adrian for sure has a great idea for a segment called This or That, and that will be something similar that we will bring in those Wednesday deep dives that I mentioned a minute ago. So thanks for that. Joshua Slavitt on Instagram asks, basically he's getting back into the hobby, liquidated part of his old collection for about $2,400. Now he's making some flips and he's looking to invest even more. He says, would you reinvest more into prospects like Chet and Scoot and some of the other young guys? Or would you, and he also is buying Jackson, Churio, Jackson Holiday, and James Wood, who are a top three guys on their baseball card rankings. His question is, in terms of pure investment return, would you focus on the more expensive autos and graded of those three, or buy the Bowman Chrome first non-auto type cards? And he says Marvel type cards. I think he's maybe thinking about the inserts that kind of have the illustration feel, like the Downtowns, the Kabooms, the My Houses, and things like that. You know, something that we will tackle on the Wednesday deep dives as well, Joshua, but I would say, you know, I go for the autos. I think going for the autos is a little more expensive, but they have higher upside and you don't have to move as many cards. So for more, definitely go to nooffseason.com/ask, join the premium membership, and we'll get more on the overflow show. We also had a question from Fly Heat Cards, who you know the name from being in the live chat quite a bit. Pulled a Damian Martinez orange out of Bowman Chrome University. This is an orange first a running back from Oregon State. Would you sell him now, and what do you know about him? I would sell him now. Oregon State's winning. They're ranked right now. I'm not sure what they did over the weekend, but I mean, this is not a card to me that has a very long runway. Damian Martinez, it's still like a hot release that people are searching for singles for on eBay. So unless Andy interjects and tells me I'm super wrong on this, I would list a Damian Martinez running back from Oregon State card and just get what I can for it and reinvest it into something else. And then here's a question I want to ask Andy. So it's from Homer's Sports Cards, great listener of the show. And Homer says, when was the last time you were super aggressive in an auction on a PC card that you just had to have, but had to overpay to get it? And how did it go? And he says, this happened to me with this Kirk Gibson auto on a card with an image of the big home run from 1988 for the Dodgers. So don't worry about the baseball reference, Andy, but would love to know, since you do PC, can you recall the last time where you overspent on an auction, and how did it go?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking through some of my purchases here, and I'm trying to find one that like I actually went above and beyond. This one that I'm still holding is actually a Zay Flowers that is from Panini Legacy, and it's a gold cracked ice auto out of 25. I got it in auction for 40, total 48 out the door, but I did get into obviously a little bit of a bidding war, but I felt like I sniped it because I actually bought that card back in August before Mosaic and everything was out. So I felt like I got a good deal on it, but I'm still holding that card, but I do remember being pretty aggressive. Now, a couple other ones I was pretty aggressive on were Bijan Robinson and Jordan Addison on the NFLPA Rookie Premier Hollows. And whenever I was attacking those cards in auctions, I bought like five or six of those cards. And you just set your max bid like another 10 to 20% higher than even what you feel comfortable for, just because you know that the upside is so huge. I guess those weren't PC though. So they don't count for what we're talking about here. The last PC card that they bought was, a couple buy it nows. There is a Baker Mayfield, rookie auto that I bought that actually was in auction for $60, but I didn't like get into a bidding war. I just set my max bid for where I want it, because my problem is if I don't set my max bid early, then I'll likely forget about it, because a lot of times I'm targeting auctions that are ending in the middle of the day or on the weekend on Saturday afternoon. And like, I'm always, either working or doing stuff with the family. So it's like, I very rarely get the notification on my phone when the auction's ending in 5 minutes that, to make my move. So, if it's a card that I want, I set my max bid where I'm like, I don't want to pay any more than this, or I would feel really bad then. And I let it ride, man. And that's what I do.
Andy, you're sniping auctions. You're not overpaying. And that's what I'm trying to do too. So it's a hard question for you to answer. So I don't blame you. So, but the last time I remember totally overpaying for an auction was when I was just getting started buying sports cards, like back into the hobby about 3 or 4 years ago. And I just kept, I would just see a card I would want. I remember it was a Barry Sanders raw 1989 score. And I was just like, oh, I had that card as a kid. I bet I could get it graded and it'll improve the value. And like, this was early 2021 when everything was just like through the roof. And I just definitely overpaid for that card in an auction because, the impending, evening out and plateauing after a dip of the sports card market was about to happen. And so I was still just learning. So I needed sports card school first before I made that mistake. And now we are launching sports card school at nooffseason.com. So you can go to sportscardschool.com and it'll take you right to the page, and you need to check that out because we're actually dropping lessons to prevent things like what Homer asked us about from happening to you. So check that out. And, Connor and I met and went through his entire childhood collection on Friday. And Connor, why don't you talk a little bit about that in your parting shot for the day here?
That was my L of the week. That was awful. I had so much optimism that we were going to find something crazy, and the best we could do was an absolutely dog-eaten, infested, game-worn jersey patch of Tom Brady in there. So I got some stuff to do to figure out strategy for getting sold. But real quick, my closing thoughts on my W of the week, which I just found out 45 minutes ago. My forecasted flag plant, Cooper Flagg, who will be the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft, has officially committed to my Duke Blue Devils over the University of Connecticut. So it's going to be a good day.
Nice. That's awesome. We'll be looking forward to his cards hitting the market. Heads up, it looks like Bronny James might be in a release that's scheduled to be released Wednesday. The McDonald's All-American Topped Chrome 2023 release. So speaking of Cooper Flagg, not sure if he'll be in there or not, but that'll be another interesting name to look out for in that release. So yeah, Andy, dude, Connor has a game worn patch from Tom Brady in a card. And the problem is it looks like he flushed it down the toilet and then got it out of like the sewer later. But is that going to be worth anything? Can he do anything to restore that and make it something that somebody would want to buy?
I want to see a picture of this thing. Have you posted it up in the Discord?
No, I haven't yet. I'll throw it in there. It's upstairs right now.
But I mean, it's a Tom Brady game worn patch. If you can authenticate that thing, even if it's just the patch now, because the card is a PSA 1, I mean, it sounds like it's worth authenticating just because Tom Brady game worn patches are so rare. Like I could see, like I know some serious diehard game worn patch collectors. I mean, my guy Carter Bryant, he's obsessed with game worn patches. And if it looks worn, even if the dog has chewed into it, I think that adds even more character to it, man.
Well, what's cool about this, I said something similar to Connor because we were thinking, because he was kind of down in the dumps about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, because this is Tom Brady, so it's an Upper Deck card. I think it's like Upper Deck SP. So on the back of it, it says from the president of Upper Deck, this is a cert, you know, we certify that this is a game worn, this is game worn memorabilia from Tom Brady. And my thought is you could either grade it and just get a PSA 1 and then sell it. And then you don't have to explain anything to the buyer. It's just a PSA 1. Or like you're saying, Andy, something along the lines of, can you extract the memorabilia? Can you work with like a JSA authenticators or somebody who can extract the memorabilia, authenticate it, put it into something that looks better, and then sell it with a better presentation? I don't know. Something interesting to think about.
Can you remake a card out of this for me?
Right, exactly. We've got Colin. Do you remember Colin's Instagram handle off the top of your head, Connor? Because Colin does those custom cards.
I want to say it's Country Card 615.
Country Card 615. Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Colin. Yeah, so maybe somebody who could do like a custom card and then you do it in front of JSA or somebody and then they authenticate it. And I don't know. That'd be interesting. But Andy, any parting shots for the day, man? Thank you for joining us, by the way.
It's been a pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed this episode and we covered a ton of ground, man. You guys do such an incredible job covering multiple sports and with all the nuances in sports cards. It is a heavy lift, but you guys do a great job at it. And I think my parting shot is just to remind people that, you know, whenever I look on a weekly basis, there is twice as many auctions sell for most players than there are buy it now. So, you know, your best deals are going to be in auction, and Monday is a huge auction day out of the entire week, especially for football. I find anywhere between 5,000 to 15,000 more auctions end Monday than any other day of the week. I kid you not. And it's because I talked to DC Sports 87, who's a massive consignment shop at the National. And I believe that they do the same thing that some of these other large consignments do, whether it's Big Boyd or these other massive consignments. They get in on Monday and they list all their auctions. They do 7-day auctions. They end them Monday night. And that's how they get their week started off. They get all their cards listed that have been submitted in from sellers out there that don't want to put in the legwork. They send them in and they let them rip. They're not looking at, is this guy hyped up right now? Is this card something that I'd be better off listing in a buy it now or what have you? So it's a lot of legwork, but if you hunt the auctions, I mean, you'll just find some incredible deals, especially right now that we've gotten through week 8 and we're at this nice spot to snipe football cards in auction.
If you love what you heard today, everybody, this is honestly just like 1% of the knowledge that Andy puts out. So you got to go check out footballcardquest.com and go premium there. And then same thing with us. Like, this is probably 1% of the knowledge that we put out at nooffseason.com. And so we would love it if you check out a free 30-day trial of our premium membership at nooffseason.com. Just so much content there. And thanks, everybody, for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show. For Dr. Crack Chad Gill, for Lefty McKee, who's hopefully feeling better, for AC Andy Kaysen of the Football Card Quest, and Connor Barnett, head of content at nooffseason.com, with a chewed up Tom Brady game worn memorabilia patch. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Have a great day, and we will see you on the Overflow Show on Friday, and then again next Monday for the Sports Card Strategy Show. For more details on the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell, email Connor at nooffseason.com. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by nooffseason.com. We hope you have a wonderful day. Don't forget to text sports cards to 1-833-992-5727. If you believe this show has helped you in any way, shape, or form have a better day, better week, better month, better year, better time, making better decisions, investing in sports cards, and making money to fund your PC and your life, leave us a review on Spotify and Apple. We would really appreciate it. Give us a follow on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy. Have a great day.